about the man if she's a married woman, you know, because the two become one. So we're going to continue, excuse me, down those lines this morning. And y'all remember the parable that we done, the sower sows the seed, or sows the word or whatever. And we found out in that a willing heart causes you to have a hearing ear. So some things I have to say about this, and may get into it this morning, they're kind of rough. They was for me, you know, and I'm kind of rough anyway. And I'm like, so what I'm saying by that is keep a willing heart so you can keep a hearing ear, because I don't know anybody that has the perfect marriage. I don't know anybody that is the perfect parent. You know, I had y'all rate yourself 1 to 10. Of course, we have Mr. 11 up here. But there's no way you can be that you can be an 11. Because no matter how you measure yourself, Jesus is the 10. He is the perfect example, you know. And so we rate ourselves wherever we are, because the Bible talks about not to compare ourselves one to another, but also not to think of ourselves more highly than what we ought to, but think of ourselves in line with the Word, right? Now we talked about, we're not going to take time to turn over there, we talked about, I believe it was last Sunday, how in Genesis, you can find it in chapter 3, verse 7 through 9, I think it is, about where whenever Adam and Eve sinned, we know that the serpent deceived Eve, the Bible says, and she gave to her husband and he ate. It doesn't say he was deceived. But the one that God came looking for was Adam. He never called Eve's name, even though she was the one that had the fruit, gave it to her husband, talked to the serpent and all that. The reason for that is he's the one that had the most authority. So we talked about last week, wherever you have the most authority, you have the most responsibility. Now, the husband is the head of the home. We're not going to take time to go back and read that in, 1 Corinthians 11, I think like 1 through 11, where it talks about God is the head. God is the source of all things, right? So you can't get any higher than him. Then it talks about how Christ is the one under him, right? Then it talks about how the man is the one under Christ. Christ is the man's head. Then the woman is the one under the man, and then comes the children. So the one that has the most authority would be who? Well, we're talking about the marriage relationship or family relationship would be the man. I seen a thing the other day and I thought, God, that explains it so good. It's by Miles Monroe. And he talked about how that men have been taught they're the head of their household. And they are. That doesn't change the word. But a lot of times some men, not all, but if they're real godly men, they won't be this way. But if they're not, they have this idea, it's real prideful about how I'm the head of my household and you do what I say. No, the head of the household has the entire responsibility for the entire house. Y'all got kind of quiet. The entire house. He's like the foundation of that entire home. Why? He has the most authority, right? So now, let's go to pick up where we left off. I believe that's Colossians chapter 3. It doesn't matter what your marriage or your family, or even if you're not married, looks like right now. How many knows it can always be changed? And everything that I've been talking about and going to talk about, it takes faith to do it. Oh, and I don't forget where Colossians is. There it is. Colossians chapter 3, we're going to start reading in verse 18 in the Amplified. It says, "Wives, be subject to your husbands, subordinate and adapt yourselves to them." So who changes? The wife. That ain't what we like to do, though, most of the time. We move in, take down your pictures, put ours up, don't ask you nothing. Johnny's like, yeah. I'm sorry, Johnny. Sorry, Samantha. Anyway, it says, subordinate and adapt yourselves to them. It says, as is right and fitting and your proper duty in the Lord. One of the things that us as women have to do is learn what our purpose is. If you don't know what your purpose is, then how do you know how to get to there to fulfill it and once that you finally do? That is found over there in Genesis. It says that Adam, God made Adam, you know, and he made all the animals and everything else, you know, and then he brought the animals to Adam, the Bible says, and then Adam is the one that named all the animals, and then God said it's not good for man to be alone. There's not a helpmate for him. So the reason why that scripture says that the Bible says that the woman was created was to be the man's helper. Well, I had that kind of wrong. I thought helper meant, boy, you really need the help and I'm going to help you. I mean, no, Scotty did not want all the help I was trying to give. No man does, ladies. We are the helper. What we're called to do is to help that man fulfill the purpose that God has for him. And in doing so, we become fulfilled. Why? Because it is our purpose to help him. You get what I'm saying? Every one of us is called. Now, I mean, you may be called to do one thing just like this that I do here at church. I'm called to help here. Why? Because I'm Scotty's helper and he's the pastor here. That's not for me to rule and dominate, though, and make all the decisions, right? Excuse me. Now, I told you I did not know what some of these words meant. Let's see if I can find them here. The word subordinate means being of lower class or rank. That doesn't mean necessarily you're less than a person. It's just the order that God has made. Because one of the things that if you'll notice over in Genesis, whenever God came, what's the first thing he done? The Bible says that the earth was without form and void. There was chaos, right? First thing God does when you get born again is he starts bringing order to your chaos. Because if you have not been born again, somewhere or another, if not all parts of your life is in chaos. And what he does is he starts bringing order. That's exactly what he did in the earth. So it says being of lower class or rank. Now the word adapt, it said to fit or suit, to change oneself as to adjust to new conditions. And I thought about it, and I thought, why am I the one that has to change? How come he don't have to change? How come he don't have to adapt? Because God set it up that way. That's the only reason. So I have to change and adapt myself to my husband, and if I'm married. And listen to me. Let me say this. We have teenagers in here, a lot of y'all teenagers in here, you know. What I'm talking and what you're learning about will be, I don't want to say the most important, but I mean it is right under there. Because who you choose to marry will help determine your destiny and your purpose in God. You can marry a woman that I'm telling you, the Bible talks about it is better to weather all kinds of conditions, the snow, the sleet, the rain, the cold, the heat on a rooftop than with certain kinds of women. So you don't want to pick those kind of women. And it takes some time and seeing them in different situations to know what kind of woman that they are. And a lot of times, you know, we pick people or marry people based on what they look like and how they make us feel. I don't find that in the Bible. A lot of other countries, they have arranged marriages. You know, you might think, well, I have to be attracted to them or I have to love. No, you don't. Love's not a feeling. Love is a commitment. It's a responsibility. You do what you do. Right? God is love. God's not a feeling. Even though you can sense him, you can sense his presence or whatever, but he's not a feeling. Right? So we adapt ourselves to our husbands. And all the ladies said amen. Now, let me go on with this reading here. It says, wives, be subject to your husbands, subordinate and adapt yourselves to them, as is right and fitting and your proper duty in the Lord. Listen, however I submit and subordinate myself to my husband, that's how I do it to God. Y'all remember the story about Moses and Miriam and Aaron, right? God told Moses what to tell the people to do, and then the people did what? Right to Moses. Miriam and Aaron, they come up against Moses. What happened to him? God come down and he said, I heard the things you've been saying about me. Why? Because God takes headship and authority and leadership very seriously. So anytime you talk about the authority that God has placed over you, you're talking about him. And he doesn't take that lightly. Actually, Miriam got her a case of leprosy and had to go outside the gates for a while, right? So we don't want to do that. It goes on and it says, husbands, love your wives. And this is what it means. He says, be affectionate and sympathetic with them. And do not be harsh or bitter or resentful toward them. I was thinking about this yesterday. Scotty used to be really, well, I mean, I'm a kid. I don't know nothing. I don't understand anything. I'm always with him. And so guess who all my questions and answers come from? All my questions are to him, and he answers me. And he's very understanding with me and talks to me gently and all this stuff. But somewhere along the way, that quit happening. And it's probably my fault, because the thing about it is, I've noticed, the more disagreeable I am with him, the harsher he is with me. And I don't need him to be harsh with me. See, in general, we're all the same, ladies. In general, we're all the same, men. And our roles may differ in certain ways of, like, maybe you work night shift, or maybe you do this, or maybe your wife works, or maybe yours don't. But all of us are supposed to comply with the word, right? So I was thinking about how Scotty deals with grandkids. And he was always this way with Travis. He was always the one that'd be the teacher. Oh, he's so compassionate. He's so gentle. He's so understanding, you know. Where I would be always the one like, golly bum, I done told you your ABCs one time, smack. Can't you get them? I'm just telling you the truth. And then I would cry, because I would feel so bad for being that way when he was growing up. Scotty never. I don't think he's ever raised his voice to him. Now, he spanked him when he was a kid, you know, and different things like that. But he was always, but then when it come to me, he'd be like, didn't I tell you hold that board today at whatever, three-quarter smack? Not that he would hit me, I'm just saying. How many knows, men, that's not the way to treat your wives? What did he say here? Let me read it again. It says, husbands, love your wives. Be affectionate and sympathetic with them, and do not be harsh or bitter or resentful toward them. Why? Because if you do, you're going to get more of what you've been getting. But see, I have a lot to determine, too, with how he reacts to me. Like I told you, I noticed him with the grandkids. He's the same way with the grandkids as he was with Travis, you know. Now, I'm more like him with the grandkids now than what I was with Travis. I've learned, grown, did some things or whatever. But I thought, and I told him, I need you to be this way with me. See, what a lot of men, husbands, don't realize, your wife is your project. Oh, God, y'all! Some of y'all just looking at me like a cow at a new gate. Is the man Christ's project? Yeah. And we all have to obey Christ in our own personal lives, but us as married women, we get a representation of him here that we can touch, right? That we can talk to, we can touch, we can see, and all of that. So when I'm real disagreeable, and I didn't even realize that's what I was doing, but when I'm real disagreeable, it causes him to be harder with me. And then when he's harder with me, then I get harder and more disagreeable. Then he's harder with me, and it just keeps on escalating. So one of the things that I have, that the Lord has been helping me, that I have started doing, what God told me, that dogged determination you got, Teresa. If I know something now is a problem, or he's going to react probably in a bad way, I just don't bring it up. Just don't bring it up. If you know it's going to cause an argument, and I'm not talking about something life-threatening or whatever, just like this, you leave the toilet seat up every single time you go in the bathroom. If you done told them 1,500 times in 6 months that you've been married, do you really think the 1,700th time is going to change you? Just don't bring it up. Ladies, put the seat down, sit down, do your business, and go out. They're just not going to do it. Just like this. Husbands, you cannot make your wives submit to you. You can try to, but the more you try to, a lot of times, a lot of women, the more you try to make them, the more they rebel. They either submit to you or they don't. Because submission is, you don't agree, you don't like it, but you put yourself under. I put myself under on purpose. My husband can't put me under. I'm talking about under. He's come under submission unto him. That's something that I have to do. And if a woman chooses not to do that, then she chooses not to do that. But how many knows, men, married men, you can help your wife want to do that. And that's the thing that you want to do. Let's go on here with this. It says, don't be hard or harsh or bitter with them, resentful toward them, children, obey your parents in everything, for this is pleasing to the Lord. And it says, fathers, do not provoke or irritate or fret your children. Do not be hard on them or harass them, lest they become discouraged and sullen and morose and feel inferior and frustrated. Do not break their spirit, in other words. Now let's look at 1 Peter 3. I would not be the one to pick to teach this stuff. Ain't that just like God? He usually picks the very ones that we would not pick. I would not have picked Scotty to be your pastor. When he told me, he said, if I don't get this out of my heart, I'm going to be a preacher. I thought, yeah, sure, everybody probably thinks that no way you are a preacher. What's he do? He says, I take the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, right? Now here in 1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to start reading in verse 1. In the Amplified, it says, in like manner, you married women, be submissive to your own husbands. Subordinate yourselves as being, this one, what really got me, what really helped me the most. Subordinate yourselves as being secondary to and dependent on them and adapt yourselves to them. Now, that, there's a lot going on right now. Feminist movement that they saying, oh no, we're supposed to be equal to men and all of that, you know, but we already have laws on the books. If a woman does the same work as a man, she gets paid the same amount. If you don't blame me, you can sue them, you know, and all that, just like the sexual harassment stuff and all of that. So the laws like that's already there, but they want to go over and make us equal. God says we're not equal. We cannot become equal. Why? There is an order to things. Anything that's two-headed, that's not good. Right? But this, and I thought, okay, I have to become secondary to him. Would you want to say something? Oh, okay. Just yawning or whatever. And I thought she wanted to say something. I have to become secondary to him. What's that mean? I have to put him first. I have to put him before me. And see, a lot of times that's real easy for us to do everywhere else. Y'all not saying nothing. Everywhere else, it seems to be easier to do than it is with my husband. But the Bible says for us, like I'm sitting here, to prefer one another's above yourself, right? Same thing with my husband, or same thing with my husband. I'm supposed to see myself secondary and dependent on him. I thought about this. I don't want to be equal to y'all, Johnny. My thinking I used to, but the Lord is helping. I don't want to. Now, Scotty and Travis's job and a lot of men's jobs is outside work until they get inside the garage and get the door put up, you know, and then they're kind of away from the elements. I don't want to go to work in the snow. I don't want to go to work in the sleet. I don't want to go work when it feels like I've got to stay there 8 to 12 hours and my feels like my fingers is going to fall off and my toes. I don't know, but I don't want that. I don't want to go out there and endure the heat when it's 102 degrees. I don't want to do that. I don't want to have to take the rats out of the traps. I don't want to take the dog to the vet. Y'all not saying nothing. Y'all, ladies, y'all want to do all that? Y'all want to go work in 102 degrees out there with the sun baking your head? Oh, but we want to be equal when it comes to the decision making. We want to be equal when it's determining who's supposed to do what in the household. We're supposed to be equal when the husband tells the kids something and then the mother tells them something different. Yeah, Mom, that went over real well. No, I don't want to be y'all's equal. And ladies, if you're smart, you will not even try. He goes on here and he says this. He says, so that, let me just start the whole thing. In like manner, you married women, be submissive to your own husbands, subordinate yourselves as being secondary and dependent on them, and adapt yourselves to them. So that, even if any do not obey the word of God, they're not born again, or they don't obey the word, they may be won over, not by your discussion, not by your nagging, not by your keeping on. It says, but by the godly lives of their wives. He says, when they observe the pure and modest, we could get on that one and stay all day. A lot of women, young ladies, are not very modest. They leave nothing much to the imagination. I mean, we've had women and teenage girls come in here, and I'm telling you, always show and accept the whatever. We don't need to be seeing your crack up here or back there. I'm serious. We don't need to be seeing all that. No man should have to go to church and look away from a woman. And I'm not talking about a man that he's got problems either. But I mean, seriously, we're not supposed to be like the world, but a lot of times the way a lot of women dress, and men too, but the most of the time it's women that they dress and they stand so close and they look so like the worldly women and the worldly young ladies, that's hard for the guys to choose. It's hard for the guys to figure out which one is should I even approach, because they all look in the same. We're supposed to look different, right? We're supposed to dress different. Now, I'm not saying you got to have your hair in a bun and your ankles, I mean, your dress down to your, I'm not saying that. You don't have to look like a granny, you know, so to speak. There's some, I seen one the other day. We was at a funeral. And I just thought, my goodness. She's older than I am. And she's sitting down when I went in, and I seen her. I know the woman. Anyway, she gets up to leave. I kid you not. We see the cracks up here. This is like a mini, mini, mini skirt. She's got on black leather boots that come up to right here. And she says she's a Christian. I don't say she's not. I'm just telling you, that should not be. Of all people. I mean, nowadays we got a lot of older women, they're dressing like that because they can no longer depend on what they look like to get a man. So now the man don't know, is that your real hair? Is that your real eye color? Is those your lips or is that Botox? Did you have implants? They implant you now from the front to the back to the head to the toe. And a lot of these girls, young girls and women, they think these lips that, I'm telling you, I can't even do it. Y'all seen some of them, ain't you? I seen this one on Facebook. She took a glass and put it over her lips and caused suction and pulled it off of her lips. Oh, gosh, they was just like turned inside out nearly. I don't know why, y'all ladies, I'm talking to people all over the world, so don't think I'm just talking to y'all in here, okay? All over the world, they listen to the website, Facebook, all of that stuff. I don't know why a lot of y'all ladies and young ladies are thinking that looks good to a guy. I listened to a study about that, some statistics on that, and most guys, they don't like it. They don't care about it. They want to know, can you cook? I'm telling you the honest truth of what they said. They want to know, can you cook? Can you clean? Listen to me. Help us, Jesus. If your husband works and you stay home, your husband should never have to cook a meal unless he chooses to. He should never have to go to work or anywhere he goes with dirty clothes. Y'all not saying much, but the thing about it is, mothers and grandmothers, are y'all teaching the young ladies? Or are y'all just helping them? Because see, most teenagers, they don't have a lot of money to buy their own clothes. Y'all not saying nothing. Who's buying this stuff for them? Where are they getting this stuff? Where is the fathers when the young lady starts to go outside the house and we can see your underwear or your cheeks? And I ain't talking about these. Where is the fathers that is the ones that's supposed to be the heads, the authorities that says, you are not going out of this house looking like that. You get in there and you change. But see, a lot of mothers now, well, there's nothing wrong. Listen, he's a man. He knows what he's talking about. Men know what they're talking about. Just like ladies, certain things, when a woman sees scar, a lot of times I have to tell him if somebody's flirting with him, Lord help him. His brain is just so busy most of the time and thinking. I'm like, she's flirting with you. And he'll go, she was? Really? Nah. Women know. When a woman looks at my man and she looks at me, I can tell you what she thinks by the look on her face. Y'all guys can do the same thing, right? Yeah. So where's the fathers that's telling these kids, no, you're not wearing that. No, you're not going there. No, you're not doing that. But see, that's not bondage. What you don't understand is they have authority over you because they're responsible for your safety, your security, and how your destiny turns out to a certain degree. So it's not bondage, it's actually protection. But a lot of people, young people, they don't take it that way. I know Travis, he was, I don't know, probably 16, 17, you know. And listen to me, grandparents, do not undermine parents' authority. Thank you, Sandy. Do not, grandparents, undermine parents' authority. Why? Because you're undermining God, number one. And you're teaching that kid to rebel against their parents. Travis has come to me and talked to me about different things, him and Beth, and yada, yada, yada. He called me 11:30 one night and says, Mom, I'm in the bed. He says, Mom, I don't think Beth is right or die. I said, what? They've got some kind of spit or spat or something. I don't know, some kind of argument going on. Now, a lot of times used to, Travis was a lot like me, and he would kind of stir the pot, stir stuff up, and then people would say things and jump on him, and he expects Beth to get the gun and run out there and take care of him, I guess, like I would. He called me. He said, Mom, I don't think Beth's right or die. I said, what? I couldn't understand what he said. I'm nearly asleep. Scotty is asleep, kicking me because I'm on the phone. I said, it's your boy. Well, it's his boy when he ain't doing right. It's my boy when he is. And called me and asked me that. Mama just don't think she's right or die. You're right or die with Dad, you know. You get the gun, you do the best. Not like that, Mom. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. My point to all this is this. Beth is not a perfect wife. Travis is not a perfect. There is none. Jesus is the 10. Now, we're all supposed to be growing and developing to that 10 that he is, and this word says we're supposed to be and all of that. I have never one time, and he's here, you can ask him. I have never one time ever said anything bad about Beth. Never. Look how y'all getting real quiet. Don't talk bad about your in-laws. Don't talk bad about your son-in-laws. Don't talk bad about your daughter-in-laws. Why? They're supposed to become my daughter. They're supposed to become my sons, right? Well, I don't want nobody talking bad about my son. You talk bad about... I had to fog you up. But y'all getting real quiet. I, on purpose, have never... And y'all been married how long? 14 years. I have never said one bad thing to him about her. Usually, I'll get on him about something. He starts bringing me this stuff. Beth ain't this, and Beth don't do that, and yada, 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 yada. You know, usually, I'll get on him. Scotty used to go to God about me and tell God things about me like he didn't know that he wanted changed for his benefit to make him feel. And you know what? God never one time talked to him about me. He said, you're the problem. Why? We are your project, guys. Just as well as the children are the project of the parents. Why? It says train them. Do you understand? In order for me to adapt to you, I got to know things about you. You got to tell me things about you. It's Scotty's job to teach me how to adapt myself to him because I don't know. Women think they know what men want, but you don't got a clue most of the time. Or we wouldn't dress the way that we dress sometimes. We wouldn't talk the way that we talk sometimes, right? We would do some of the things that we should do. Just like this, I asked you, I mean, we got grandparents today raising their grandkids, you know. And if you have the same thing that I do, and I think that... Most grandparents, I know my granny was softer, my mom and them and Sandy and all of them says, on us grandkids than what they was them. Why? They ain't got to just raise us all the time. They can kind of enjoy their grandkids. So a lot of times you'll be a little lenient, you know. But if you're having to raise your grandkids, guess what? It's your job to train them now. You can't be the grandparent now. And listen, I have heard mothers, that single mothers, that they have said, I had to be the mother and the father. Ain't no way. I know a lot of times what they mean by that. They got no financial support from the father. They got no support in any way. Wasn't even in the kid's life. But there's no way, ladies, you can be a man. There's no way, ladies, you can be a father. There's no way, grandmothers, you can be a grandfather. So what do you do when your life is jacked up like that? When things are not the way that God intended for them to be, mistakes was made, whatever it was, you got to find somebody. You got to find an uncle, a brother, a pastor, somebody that can be a mentor in that young man's life. Why? You don't think like a man. I don't care if you go out there and lift weights with them or you teach them how to mow the grass. You're not a man. So you don't think like a man. You don't talk like a man. You don't make choices that a man would make, even though you may do your best, and vice versa. A man cannot be a mother. Even though he may have some very nurturing qualities and things like that, he cannot be a mother. Why? I can be a mother. Only the woman can be a mother of what she's supposed to be. And only a man can be a father of what he's supposed to be. And if you don't have that, God can make up for it. But you know, just like grandmothers raising their grandkids or whatever today, what I see, they say statistically that young boys, young men, grow up without a father in the home, they're more likely to hurt somebody. They're more likely to end up in prison. They're more likely to have children out of wedlock. They're more likely to even jump on and abuse the mothers and the grandmothers. I tell you what I see. Aubrey and Aiden, they're both very good kids. Very good. And I don't just say that because they're my grandkids. When they're around Beth, and Beth is a good person. Beth disciplines them. She takes time with all that. I'm not saying anything. When they're around Beth, especially Aiden will act a certain way. Beth said, yep. But now, I've seen them. They'll be out at my house or here or anywhere. Let Travis walk in the room. And Travis does not beat his kids, I can tell you. Most time he turns the TV up where he can't hear them to keep from beating on them or whatever, you know. And I go out there and I'm like, God, I can't even think, it's so loud out here. But anyway, my point is not all of that. Why? Let Travis walk in the room. And it's not because necessarily he is the father. They recognize him as the authority. You understand what I'm telling you? So kids, they need a man in their life. If it's not their daddy, if that can't be possible or what, somebody's got to be. Or vice versa, mothers too. I don't know how we got off on all that, but anyway, I guess we need it. It says, for the godly wives, if their husbands are non-believers or do not obey the word, it says, when they observe the pure and modest way in which you conduct yourselves together with your reverence. Reverence means respect, so to speak. It says, for your husband, you are to feel for him all that reverence includes. And then it's going to tell us what that reverence is. To respect, defer to, revere him. To honor, esteem, appreciate, prize. And all the guys said amen. Ah, y'all missed an opportunity. And in the human sense, to adore him. That is, to adore, praise, be devoted to, deeply love, and enjoy your husband. Now, I wrote something down here. I doubt we're going to get to all this. But anyway, this is in general now. And y'all guys, tell me if it ain't so. Well, let me put my glasses back on so I can read what I wrote here. For men generally, their number three things is respect, honor, and loyalty. Now, if that is not yours, say it now. No man likes to be disrespected, period. That is one of the things that most of them, they prize very highly. But for a woman, their three, usually and generally, is love, safety, and security. And when I say love, guys, we want to be the apple of your eye. What we was when we was dating you, before you think you called us, you ain't never got us. No, I'm kidding. Yes, you do. We had to cut that off. That was a part of me coming out, I guess. But anyway, for women, we want to be, guys, the apple of your eyes. There's nobody before us but God. The kids don't come before us. Now, one of the things that I've had to learn that really used to bother me real bad was, you know, Scotty's in business for himself. So he has the landline rode over to his cell phone for a business. Is I always hate it. I'll be, because a lot of times he's at work, but he might be on the back porch. You know, he come home for something or whatever. And that phone rang. I'll be in mid-sentence and that phone rang. Guess what he does? Gets the phone and he answers the phone and he talks. That makes me feel less than that phone. But I've had to come to understand from this time to this time, that phone is the most important. Why? Because if that phone ain't answered, I don't eat. See, there's some things I have to let go because it has to be that way. But then there's other times, say we're in mid-conversation and it's not work time, and he stops me and answers that phone, that's a no-no. Why? You just put somebody else priority over me. And vice versa. The husband doesn't do that. That's like Travis, you know, he's going to go. Me and him had a lot of conflict when he came in the teenage years, you know, and all that, because he's a lot like me, and I wasn't always right. And anyway, what are you laughing at, Johnny? And then me and him had got into it one day, and I told Scotty, I said, look, buddy, it is him or it's me. You better. I went and locked myself in the bedroom one time to just keep from hurting him severely. And I got my phone, and I went and locked myself in my bedroom, and I called Scotty, and I said, you better get here, and you better get here now. Why? What's going on? I'm about to hurt him. He flies home, talks to Travis, and he tells him, don't ever make me choose between you and your mama. See, a lot of kids, they do that. They're not meaning to, but they'll do that. And a lot of times, a mother will pick her children, especially a lot of times if it's not the biological father. That should never be. Why? They're not placed over them. They're placed under y'all, or you all, however you want, proper English or whatever. So the children doesn't come above the wife, but the children doesn't come above the husband either. They're under both of y'all. So anytime this stuff gets out of alignment, you're going to have chaos and disorder that's going to bring destruction. So we want to be the apple of your eyes, guys. What do I mean by safety? You are built to be the protectors. Usually you're bigger, stronger, faster. What are you doing all that yep for? You hear that, man? I got you, baby. We like to hear that. Listen, guys, and I've seen some do it before. Scotty doesn't do that or whatever. Now, he used to ask me what we're going to do or what, but that was years ago. He hadn't done that in a long time. Guys can cry, but not much. If you come to us, guys, say a problem arises. You come to us and you're crying. And you say, what are we going to do? We like safety and security. Don't ask me that. That's not my job. That's not my responsibility. That is the man's job. If you don't know, go fast, pray, seek the Lord, whatever you got to do to find out, and then come back and tell me what we're going to do. Because men, if you don't know, and you're crying, what do you think that does to us? You're the one supposed to bend the rock. You're the one supposed to be the responsible. You're the one supposed to figure it out. Not that we can't help. There's times Scotty asks me questions. There's times he asks me to pray when he's going to make a decision. You know, he'll ask me to pray if I hear anything from the Lord, let him know, you know, or see if it lines up with what he's getting. But you are our protectors. But at the same time, women, don't dress unmodestly to where you and your man go out. You're drawing attention from other men to yourself on purpose. Why? Because your man's probably going to have to handle that other one. And they don't want to have to do that if it's unnecessary. Y'all better hear what I'm telling you. Monty says amen. All men says amen, right? I mean, good. What if he's got two or three of his buddies? So you just don't do that. So some of this is common sense, and then some of it I have never even thought about. But anyway, the men are the protectors. I mean, we hear a bump in the night. Scotty don't bump me and say, go see what that is. But now usually just because, I mean, he don't wake up real easy. It's usually pretty hard to wake him up. Usually I'm the one, I'll be like, what is that? Tiptoe over to my gun cabinet and I get my gun out and then I go, Scotty, 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 wake up. What? Somebody's in here. I heard something. Then he'll get the gun and he'll go and he'll look. So if your man don't wake up easy, that's okay. You can get him awake. Why am I saying that? Because we have actually got a lot of so-called men that they're really not being in the role of a man. They're sitting in the car while the wife's pumping or the girlfriend's pumping the gas. Men don't do that. Why? Men always takes the things that's harder. Men always takes the things that is harder so we can live an easier life. Do they not? Are they not supposed to? Does God in Christ not take it all for the man? Yeah, he's got to get up and he's got to go to work, but at the same time, you trust God, didn't he say, I will supply everything that you need? Well, good. Taking the rats out of the trap, that's your job, man. Filling my car up with gas. Scotty, rarely does he drive my truck that he don't come back and it's full. There's some men, I've seen them, they meet their wives. After working 12 hours, they'll meet their wife at the 7-Eleven or whatever just to fill up her car for her. And God forbid that you ever going down the road and there is a woman out there changing the tire while the guy's sitting in the car. That is not right. But see, a lot of times what we have done, ladies, I can change the tire just as good. I don't want to change the tire. I won't change the tire. I've never changed a tire in my life. And we've had to change a lot of them. Why? Scotty does that. Why? He's built for that stuff. I'm not built. I know I'm big, but I'm not built for that. He's built for that. As old as we are, and as, I mean, I weigh more than he does, he's stronger than me. He's an inch taller than me. He's faster than me. You go get it. And what should I be doing? You got it, baby. I'm telling you, you are the best tire changer I ever saw. You see, a lot of times, ladies, men love you. They show you their love for you by how they get up and they go to work. See, you probably, a lot of women, they don't think nothing about that. That's your job. We don't think nothing about that. That's your responsibility. But like I said, when I think about me having to go work in 102 degrees or me having to go work and my fingers and toes feels like, I don't want all that. I will cook your meals. I will wash your clothes. I'll run your bath water, wash it, whatever you want. Why? That's my job. See, most of the time, I'm talking about in biblical, the way things biblically should be. Most of the time, it is the man that is out there enduring all those things so we, the women and the children, can live a good, comfortable life. So guess what? They go out there, they battle the elements, they battle people, they battle the devil, they battle bad drivers all day long, 5, 6, 7 days a week, some of them. And then they come home, and what do they hear? They open the door. I'm telling you, would you bust their tail? I've told them all day long, when your daddy gets home, he's going to tear your tail up. Mama, why ain't you done tore it up? Raise your hand if you're a man, and that's the first word you want to hear when you walk in the door after 10 or 12 hours. Crickets. I get the idea no man wants to hear that. Or they walk in the door after all of that. And you start telling them all this stuff. Well, I'm telling you, I seen on Facebook, blah, 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 you know, and Sherry called me and so, and the sink is tore up and the kids stopped up the toilet. If you are a man and that's the first word you want to hear when you walk in the door, say hello. Not a one. Why? Because when they come home, and I'm talking biblical, it's our job, ladies, to take care of your men. They take care of us in providing for us, loving us, providing safety and security financially and all other ways and all of that. But when they come in, it's our job to take care of them. If they need to, let them sit down. Maybe your guy's a man, he needs to just sit down and Facebook for an hour or just close his mind, just rest. Scotty has a lot of stress, a lot of thinking he has to do. So a lot of times when he comes in, he just wants to sit down and just be quiet. But what do we want to do a lot of times, lady? Well, why don't you ever talk? Scientifically proven, women use twice as many words as what men do. They ain't ever going to get it there, ladies, so stop trying to drag it out. Take what you get. They're not going to talk as much as you talk. And a lot of times, some women talk way too much. Some guys are sitting there, and I'll say it for you guys. Some guys are sitting there, and your woman's talking, and in your mind, you don't ever say it, but in your mind, think, good God, I wish this would end. This is a non-ending circle. What is the point? Why are some of y'all laughing so hard? I put this thing on Facebook the other day. T.G. Jakes said he walked in and asked his wife, said, "What's for supper?" They're having chicken. I got to stop because my time is up. Well, she didn't answer him. This is what she said. "Well, you know, so-and-so store over there had them on sale, and I wanted to go over there, but the traffic, I just couldn't get over there. So I had to go over there and get it at so-and-so store. I had to pay more for it, and you know how I don't like to pay more for chicken, you know, for chicken. But I went over there, and while I was in that store, I run into Sister Susie over there," whatever her name was, "and I talked to her. Did you know her and her husband's getting divorced? Did you know this?" And then she goes round about, and then she says, "Chicken. Woman, why can't you just say chicken?" Johnny's a yell on that one. Really, we don't, but see, we're so different. But we have to dull down some things, rise up on some things. Why? Because God intends for that difference to come together and be the beautiful family and marriage that He's created for us to have. Because we, families and marriages, are supposed to be a representation of Christ and the church. I've got to stop because my time is already up. Does anybody